Okay, let's turn our minds to our thought today, our subject of purpose and perspective, with the reading of Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Zechariah 2, starting with verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yahweh. And many nations shall be joined to Yahweh in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that Yahweh of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And Yahweh shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before Yahweh, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Now, God has a plan and a purpose. His plan is his purpose, and he has a purpose for his plan. And we can become a part of that. In Galatians 3, Paul talks a lot of the way to becoming a part of that, and how these many nations from here in Zechariah could become a part of that, when initially God only dealt with the Jews. And of course, we know that in Galatians 3, for example, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And of course, picking up again in verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, when we're talking about God's plan and purpose, there's kind of a parallel precedent, you might say, in the Bible. Let's look back in Numbers chapter 14. We there's some verses we're very familiar with here. The whole account actually starts, of course, in chapter 13. We'll just summarize it pretty quickly. the 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan to spy it out as the children of Israel came up from the wilderness of Sinai and approached the land the first time under Moses. And they discouraged the nation because they were scared of the inhabitants. Now, in Numbers 14, of course, we'll pick up with verse 21. I want to read verses 21 through 24 and then 28 through 33. So let's start with 21 through 24. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And again, 28 through 33. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yahweh, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So God had a plan, and that was to bring the children of Israel into the land. When they refused to do that, they who should have been a witness to the whole world as we speak of, as Moses spoke of in verse 15, where he answers God, now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying. So what kind of witness would that be to God? So this generation's rebellion and fear for their own and their children's safety was not just an obstinate rebellion or faithlessness. It ended up being, in effect, an attempt to thwart God's plan. So he brought up alternatives to achieve the same goal. Of course, the first one, he said he would destroy them all and make of Moses the great nation to achieve this purpose. Now, for that immediate purpose, that could have worked. It still would have been of the seed of Abraham. But God's overall purpose of filling the earth with the glory of Yahweh would not have been shown in that. And so the second alternative that he brought up in verse 31, where he said, your children that you're so worried about, they will go in and they will conquer and fight these people that you're too chicken to fight against. And you're not going to get to see it. You know, we're all replaceable to God, too. Both of these ideas included the rejection and cutting off of that present faithless generation that had refused to work toward the achievement of God's purpose. And they sacrificed the promises out of concern about the possible risk to themselves and their children. They lost sight of the overall plan of God and His purpose. And so their perspective was only on their own immediate safety. Christ gives a parable in Matthew 21. Let's read verses 28 through 31. Matthew 21, 28 through 31. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And then let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Christ says, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Our true perspectives come out in our actions and our purposes. Now, God's purpose summed up in of course, Numbers 14:21 and a number of other verses should be ours, of course. And thus that creates our perspective, the godly perspective, that that's our only focus. And if we are in Christ, it is our duty to work in the Lord's vineyard to advance that purpose. And so our perspective is what needs to be done in that effort. Now, many years ago, in one of my jobs, driving all over far west Texas, there's a somewhere down along Interstate 10, roughly in the Fort Stockton area, in that general area, there's a large pecan orchard, trees, pecan trees, bigger, well, even much bigger than Sister Jean's. I mean, pecan trees are unbelievable. Those just this huge orchard. But somewhere near there, there's a vineyard just off out in the desert. And it's a big vineyard. I happen to have to get to a site basically behind it. And after turning off the public road and taking the little gravel road that skirted the outside of this vineyard, it was several miles at least around this vineyard. And I was just halfway around it. It was just an interesting coincidence to me that as I was accessing this location, driving along there, out in the middle of this vineyard, this huge vineyard that would, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of acres, out in the middle of it, there was one worker hoeing weeds. And of course, it didn't look like he was making any impact at all. The rows before him were overgrown with weeds, the rows after that. But there he was out there in the 110 degree summer weather, not a cloud in the sky, just by himself, hoeing along. You know, he just kept working along. No, I was just passing by there that one time. You know, I don't know if there was a whole crew of Mexicans coming up the next day, if there were, you know. But from our perspective, you know, we often don't see literally what is really going on, how God is working things out. You know, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. But for whose good? For those who love God, who are called according to his election. But we have to see that through the eye of faith. And what is good, ultimately, may not be good, seem good right now. Or even seem like it's effective at all. But if we focus on God's purpose. Then our perspective will be that, as Paul said, through Christ I can do all things. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then let's turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, let's read verses 3 through 7. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So we are looking beyond any present immediate situations, trials, and inconveniences, to the eternal fulfillment of God's plan and purpose. And that is our perspective. So now, as we think of God's purpose, we consider the culmination of his plan and purpose in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of faithful, covenanted believers. And with a faithful perspective, we look at this as something different from the perspective of those whose selfish focus attempts to thwart God's purpose. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship, then, is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. And so let us turn our thoughts to this with the singing of hymn number 100. Beyond where Kedron's waters flow, behold the suffering Savior go to sad Gethsemane. His countenance is all divine, yet grief appears in every line. Hymn 100.